It's time for building the game.
Building the game
with Jason and friends from Tabletop Game Design. The fun never ends. It's at the end of the episode. That's
when it technically ends.
Hello and welcome to Building the Game, a documentary podcast. Today is Monday, March 18th, and you're listening to episode 616. Unusually, I'm Emily, one of your co-hosts of the podcast. But here today, I've got Clarence Simpson, Roscoe Schock, and Sabrina Selba. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
It's great to have you here. So what have y'all been up to recently?
Just visiting the great state of Kentucky.
The very great state of Kentucky. I feel like we have that in common. I feel like I might have seen you all very, very recently.
Do look more familiar than usual.
So, yeah, I think most of us are in 100% unpub prep at this point.
Yes. Is everyone here going to be at unpub in a couple days?
Yes.
Everybody is nodding. Man, we're spending so much time together this month, y'all. Does anyone want to come to PAX East with me? We could just like make a three-parter of this. It's going to be amazing.
Is that right after unpub?
Yeah, it's next week.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm doing back to back. I decided to skip Granite Game Summit, which was this weekend. So
that sounds really insane.
Yes, that's why I didn't do it. I like to be a little bit reasonable. So, listeners, in case you have no idea what we're talking about, the four of us were just at Gamma Expo for some of us up to a week, for some folks a couple days. So the reason we got together is we wanted to talk about what was Gamma Expo, what we liked, what we would love to see maybe be a little different, and would we go back, right? And I think this is going to be a good group of people because I think we all have some different perspectives. So I wanted to just start with a brief description of Gamma Expo for those who are not familiar. And I think sometimes we sort of just call it Gamma, which I know there was there were some conversations at the expo. Yeah, that was a big no-no. We need to call it Gamma Expo. Gamma is an organization. Gamma Expo is this event that we just went to. And so for those who don't know, Gamma Expo is, I mean, they sort of call it the trade show in the board game industry, right? The goal really seems to be around connecting retailers to publishers so they can come and see what's coming out next, so they can decide what they want to order for their stores and learn about how you would sell those games to your consumers and things like that. But it seems like in recent years, they've also added a lot more because I think Gamma is trying to be important and relevant and helpful to all sorts in the industry. So they had a track now for content creators and media folks. And this year they added a designer track as well and a whole designer day. So that's how I would describe Gamma. I don't know. What do you guys think? Or Gamma Expo. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, I think that sounds about right as far as my understanding of it as well. Definitely heavy, publisher to retailer focus, it seems.
And Gamma is Game Manufacturers Association, for anybody who doesn't know what the Gamma part of Gamma Expo stands for.
Thank you, Sabrina, because I always forget. I'm always like, it's a game and manufacturer, and I miss what the first A is, but it's the A from game.
I think so.
Yeah. That's also true. There were a ton of manufacturers there, you know, people who will produce those board games for you or manufacture them, I guess. So I wanted to ask why you all decided to go to Gamma Expo this year. So who wants to go first? I guess, yeah, what were you hoping to get out of going to Gamma Expo?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I had heard about Gamma Expo for several years, and I think there maybe even has been some designer-focused content or panels or whatever in the past, but it never kind of seemed to present itself as a valuable thing for somebody who's just a designer. And then this year, the different thing they did was that they decided to host a designer day, which is like the one day before everything else in the expo. And it's entirely designer focused, including panels and playtesting and mixers and stuff. But also importantly, they decided that designers could go for free. And if you went to the designer day, you could also go to the entire Gamma Expo for free. And so that announcement definitely put it on my radar as something that I might want to go to. And then the other thing that I had heard about is that since it's not a consumer facing con, it was a very much, lower stress, less chaotic environment for everybody, really. So, you know, publishers and everybody else that you might want to talk to. So if it's hard for you to, you know, have a moment to talk to a publisher at other cons, you might have a much easier time doing that at Gamma Expo.
Great. What about you, Roscoe or Sabrina?
Well, I had heard the same thing, that it was the place to go yearly for connecting publishers, retailers. Basically heard this was where the business got done. So that made me very interested as a newbie publisher. And I had a number of goals. I'm shipping my first game this fall, Diatoms, and I am still accepting late pledges. And so I went kind of, the full retail release for the game will be next year in partnership with 25th Century, but I went to Gamma in part to try to find some additional retailer late pledges to bring into the fold for this fall, and just start making those relationships with retailers, you know, for future games. I went to find out more about distribution because it's a part of the industry that I didn't, that I don't still know a lot about. And I learned a lot at Gamma that I'm still chewing on for future reference. And I was also kind of looking for, could I find potential localization partners for Diatoms for the future, not for this fall, but maybe for the next print run. So those were my three like intentional goals. And then I had a couple of secondary things that kind of came out of being there. So I can talk about those a little later, but that's why I decided to go.
Nice.
Awesome. Yeah. I would say that, my reasons are pretty similar to Clarence's. Part of the thing I heard was that it was like much more laid back, because there isn't that kind of consumer focus in terms of sales at the expo, hall area. The other thing is like, it's not only open for 4 hours a day. So it's not like other ones where it's open 8, 10, 12 hours or whatever. So the publishers are like not running around crazy. Their day is not completely booked. Part of the thing was also like, I've been trying to get to a lot of these bigger conventions at least once just to see if it has value. So this is my first time, and with the designer day and with Emily and other stuff happening, I'd have figured, well, I could make it go this time. So I'm just going to wing it and kind of go. The other thing that I was curious to see is, you know, how much ability. I know some other people, I think Jamie and other people have said like, hey, it's like super relaxed. So like, you can just like pitch to publishers all you want and stuff like that. So I was just curious about that. So I wanted to kind of come and see firsthand. And then I think also still being a newbie in the industry, probably my biggest, broadest goal was just to network, just to keep meeting new people, keep making connections, talking to people, building relationships so that when I kind of do some other stuff in the future that I have a little bit better base. So that was kind of why I decided to go.
All right. So, I mean, y'all have some different reasons for going. My reasons are more similar to Sabrina's. So this past year, I applied to be a Horizon Fellow publisher, because I am hoping to self-publish my first game, Pirates of the High Tees. And I did end up getting accepted to that program. And Sabrina was doing the Rising Star program as well. But part of the fellowship was a booth at Gamma, right? So there's a whole bunch of great stuff that leads up to it, a bunch of mentoring and ask me anything sessions, a bunch of learning. But also I had a booth this year. So I was sort of like, sweet. let's go, let's do it. I don't know if I would have sort of figured out by now that I wanted to go to Gamma Expo, but as a new publisher, I was like, yeah, this seems great. So I went primarily to network, get connected, and sort of see if I thought I could do this, right? One of the things I've been trying to figure out with Pirates is, you know, it does the market that I think exists really exist, right? So a chance to talk to retailers about whether or not this was going to be something that they were interested in, a chance to connect to manufacturers. I had aspirations of talking to distributors and consolidators and things like that, but we'll talk about how that went perhaps later. But yeah, so my goal was really to go as a publisher. And then when I heard about Designer Day, I said, yeah, I'll go do that as well. That seems great. And I'll already be in town anyway. I think we have a nice mix of reasons that we went. So let's start with what were your high points, right? What were the things that you did or saw or experienced that, that you just thought were great?
The networking was great. It was the most effortless professional networking I've experienced my entire career in games, which mostly comes from video games and coming into board games. It was just everybody who was there is part of the business chain, and everybody was there to learn and meet other pieces of that chain. And so it made every conversation sort of immediately relevant and interesting. So I just thought it was just a pleasure to network in such a nice, diverse mix of people who were all connected but different and had things to learn from one another. That made it really easy and interesting.
Yeah, I agree. I thought the networking was amazing, and in particular the small group or in-person, small set of people or one-on-one networking. I went to some of the networking events, right? The sort of dinners or drinks or things like that, and got some networking done there. But I felt like I did better when I sort of, met someone once and then ran into them in the hallway, right? Sabrina, you and I sat there in the middle of the hall having a conversation and had a couple people come and go it was just great, right? And they were, like you said, a really diverse mix of people, right? We're talking to a content creator, we're talking to another publisher, a retailer, right? You know, those sorts of things. And that I personally really feel like I have sometimes struggled in like formal networking situations, and this just felt so easy, right? It just felt so natural. Looking at Roscoe or Clarence.
Yeah, I can jump in. There's a couple of highlights. Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think some of the bigger mixer things just seem to largely be like, here's a room. And you go in there and it's so loud, like literally you could be standing next to someone, you're shouting and you can't hear each other. So that wasn't super conducive. But like you said, I think there was a lot of opportunity to talk to other people kind of like between the convention center and the Galt House area. There was lots of kind of like side conversations and people just kind of hanging out and talking. So I think one of the things is like there was space for people to just kind of chill a little bit more. A lot of times I feel at other conventions, everyone's like, I got to go, I got to get this meeting, or like, I got to go before the hall closes, or like whatever it is. And people are kind of rushing around more. And like, everyone just seemed a little bit more chill and meeting up like a little more informally or just stopping to talk to somebody, like you were saying, like in the hall, because like you didn't have to be somewhere in 10 minutes. Yeah, I think as a designer, it was fun to get a couple. I didn't get a lot of playtesting done. We can talk about that and like what could be better. But most of that was kind of like self-organized or people, kind of testing. But it was fun to get some people to play. I forget which night it was. It was the one mixer late at night. And some people got to play a game that I've been working on called Mondrian, where you basically, it's a flip and draw kind of game where you make art. So Sabrina and Emily actually got to play. So it was cool to see them. get a chance to play that finally and get their reaction and feedback. So that was really cool. And then I'll mention one thing and then I'll kick it to Clarence, but we're kind of working on a social deduction game, and in a very, very late night all the way to 4 in the morning, we were able to do with a very focused group, some like rapid iteration on a game, and it worked. We got some really great progress in that. And so we're super excited for that. So that kind of stuff obviously is always a super, super nice outcome to have. But yeah, some fortuitous play testing and some good networking, I guess, are the two biggest things for me.
Yeah. And for me, definitely agree on the networking, just in kind of a low stress environment was for sure a high point. I will say that I think it helped a lot to be able to go into the con knowing people already, right? Because then there's already a bunch of people I know, and then I feel comfortable going up and talk to them, sitting with them, and then meeting the people that they know, right? So that all made it a whole lot easier. I'm not sure how I would have felt if I came into this totally blind, like not having any kind of connections. I feel like it would have been much, much tougher. Especially because, like Roscoe mentioned, some of the mixer kind of stuff was very, just throw you in a room and see what happens kind of thing. So yeah, I mean, the rest of that was good because I knew those people, and I got to, like, one time I actually got to meet with one of my publishers for like a brunch kind of thing in the little conservatory area of the Galt House Hotel, and we just sat down and had a chat for like an hour and a half about stuff we're working on and all sorts of other industry stuff. And that's just, you know, in the middle of the day, that just never would have happened at any other con. So it was really cool to see that kind of stuff happen.
Yeah, I think you're right about if I didn't have a touch point, there would be a lot there. I do feel like people were very friendly, and I feel like I know some people who went who maybe didn't have a ton of touch points, who are very outgoing and gregarious, and they seem to, by the end of the week, have, you know, made a bunch of new friends. So I do feel like it's a place where if that's in your wheelhouse, you can probably do that. I really enjoyed, I had a couple things. I thought the panels that I went to on Designer Day in particular were very good. I heard that maybe I picked really good panels, and I think with any convention that has panels, there are probably strong ones and less strong ones, and we may talk about some of those in the opportunities section. But yeah, I thought the Designer Day panels that I went to were really well put together and had some topics that I just hadn't seen before. Like I went to one on how to work with a developer, right? And what is a developer and how do you do that? And maybe it's just because that's sort of like at the forefront of my mind right now that I'm looking for a developer. But that was just, I don't know. It was a really nice talk, and it sort of spoke to the like designer part of my soul. Just some of the topics that he was talking about. And so, yeah, I really enjoyed all those talks on Designer Day. Did any of you make it to the talks on Designer Day?
Yeah, I had a similar reaction to some of it. It's interesting. There's some of it that of Designer Day, I felt like I'm a little bit, I've done my first crowdfund, and I'm in the middle of getting close to the, like, hit the print button on manufacturing. So there's some pieces of it that I think I'm more familiar with than maybe some of the designers in the room who were still like approaching that point of their first project or who were primarily focused on pitching. But like the developer conversation is very unusual to hear. Just clear, frank conversation about is just not very talked about. I thought that was a great talk. There were a couple others that I really appreciated the perspective of people who have really like designers, but also small publishers who were there and willing to share their experience.
Yeah, I only got to one designer panel, and it was really good, but I probably would have went to a couple more, but Roscoe and I got locked out of designer day for the first half of the day, but we can talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah, there's a thread there to be pulled. Yeah, I have a couple other high points. I don't know if anyone wants to jump in, but I'll throw a couple out that maybe are not as accessible to everyone. So I did a game night. So through Expo, there are three nights, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, where they set aside a room for game night. I think maybe it was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I don't know. Anyway, they set aside, you get a table from 9 to midnight and you set up and you play your game. And it's very like, it's kind of like doing an unpub table or something like that, except the goal is that not that you're playtesting, but that you're really demoing it, right, for retailers. So you should have a short version of your game that plays through fast enough that people can come, get the gist, and then move on. And they have a thing where you get, as a table, you get drink tickets to give to your players. And so I got to run Pirates a whole bunch of times for retailers, give drink tickets to, like, the first couple games, it was to the winner of the game. But after that, I was just like, here, just take the tickets, right? We're running out of time. Take my tickets and go get a drink. But it was really interesting to hear the retailers talk about what they were seeing in the game, how they might try and, like, sell it to a customer. Things, I had retailers be like, all right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to, like, make sure that this box weighs at least, you know, this much. It needs to not rattle when you have it, right? But they were just sort of like sharing, like, here's how I want to show it in my store. Here's how I'd want to talk about it. You know, can you have a picture on the back of the box that I could teach the entire game from that picture, so that I wouldn't have to open it and take anything out, right? And just like, that's what I do. I flip it over. I teach them the whole game, and then they buy it without me ever having to take the shrink off, right? And so I just thought, the game night was really fun. You know, you can wander around on the other nights. You can go and sit and play and stuff like that. But I found that very, very worthwhile.
I'll throw out one other high point that I had, which was in the expo hall. One of the days I was wandering around. And I stopped somewhere and was just like looking at my phone, reading some messages, and I looked up. And in the booth in front of me, I saw a copy of The Wolves, my game from a couple of years ago now, I guess. Yeah. But it wasn't in English, and I was very confused about what was happening. And I went over and picked it up and talked to the person at the booth. The booth was the manufacturer for The Wolves, and it was a Ukrainian edition of The Wolves, it turns out. And the guy at the booth was complaining about it. He's like, the factories, you know, didn't send the English copies. They know that I can't do anything with non-English copies, but they sent me one anyway. So I don't know what I'm going to do with this. This is useless. Do you want it? And I'm like, actually, I kind of do want it, because I had seen like pictures of some of the different like localized versions of The Wolves, but I had never seen one in person. So I got to take home one international copy of The Wolves.
That's awesome. I'm so excited about that for you. Roscoe, other high points? I'm gonna take that as a no.
I have a related high point, also manufacturer. Yeah. So my manufacturer was there. And I stopped by the booth because I got my first production-esque, it's not off the production line, but pre-production sample. On Friday, they got it to me in time to bring to Gamma, which was fabulous. But, you know, I had some questions. Now that I could see it, I had some things I wanted to talk about. So I kind of stopped by the booth thinking, oh, maybe I could talk about it in person with whoever's there. And I ended up meeting the co-owner of the company, and we spent like 40 minutes going over the prototype in detail and just... It was the kind of FaceTime that you just can't get. For me, that was totally unexpected, but a wonderful boon and something I would probably look for in the future again as a reason to go to Gamma to get that FaceTime.
Yeah, I was meeting with manufacturers there, and those were very interesting and very telling. And I just, you know, I could just sort of go booth to booth with, you know, hey, I'd like to. So I came back with like a billion sample kits, which I had to ship because I can't carry that much paper home with me in my luggage that was already at the maximum weight. But it was just interesting to see the different ways that different manufacturers sort of took on those conversations and what they had, right? Some really just have cards and boards, and others were like, no, we do this with wood, right? I was talking to people about, you know, if I wanted to upgrade Pirates, how would I do it? And one of the manufacturers was like, you should not go to metal coins, you should go to wood, right? And I was like, I'm fascinated by this. Tell me more. It never occurred to me. And they're like, we do this like laser etching and, you know, showing me different things. And it was just cool to be able to talk to all these people in a single sort of week. How would you upgrade this game and hear what their different answers were, right? And they're all coming at it based on, you know, what their personal strengths are. So I had one last high point, which again, perhaps not the most accessible, but I loved running a booth. I just had such a great time, despite like my voice nearly giving out, and despite having to be on my feet for 4 hours a day. I learned a ton, for those in the Discord, I'll be running some booths again in the future, and I might be looking for people who want to go with me and help out. So if I'm assuming I will get events or badges for events, and look for that ask. I really enjoyed talking to people, right? I really enjoyed watching their faces as I described the game and sort of figuring out who was interested and who was not, and where were the moments that were getting the most interest, right? The doing the minute version of what is the game for 3 days straight, I have it down now. It's really well honed. And that just like helped me better understand the game and like what is interesting about the game, what people are responding to. You just can't get even, you know, I'm going to go to Unpub and I'll probably have Pirates up a bunch, but I'm not going to get the same kind of throughput that I got here at Expo. And so that was incredibly valuable. Seeing people be excited. I had Good Kitties up too, and people were like, okay, I get you have a pirate game, but what about the cat game? When is that coming? Right. And so starting to see like who's interested in what and, you know, how they're talking about it. There's a ton of board game cafes that are interested in carrying a game about tea. Right. So that was all very cool. And I will say my highest high point, though, was when someone came by the booth and pitched me their game because I was a publisher. And I was like, oh, my God, someone's pitching me their game. And I was like, just please call me later. I can't take this in right now, which also gave me a whole better understanding of what it must be like for people when someone walks up to them in their booth and tries to pitch them their game. And I will say, maybe not. Right. Maybe not. But it was just, that was very exciting. That was the first pitch I have ever received. So should I move us on to things that we think maybe could be a little better? Maybe? All right.
Let's do it.
All right. Take us away, Roscoe.
Yeah, so especially like, not to steal all the stuff that Clarence might talk about, but this whole rollout of the designer day was like a disaster. Like the way I heard about it was, Heather heard from some other person who heard from some other person and posted a Google form on our Discord. And it's like, I mean, that's just ridiculous. Like that's like how word was getting out about it. And like, and then like the whole free thing was like, well, yeah, you have to like do that. And then somebody will send you a secret code and then you use that on tabletops to buy it. And then you put that in and then it's actually won't cost you $100 because like, otherwise it said you had to pay $100. It was just like, so ill-planned, ill-conceived. And, you know, to be fair, Gamma's not known for their organization, let's be frank. And just like, even like the day. So like, Clarence and I went down at 8 o'clock. Registration for Designer Day was 8 to 10. And we had talked to the people. I had talked to the people the night before, and I knew it was fully booked because we decided to go really, really late the week before. But I figured we'd get on like a wait list or whatever. So we went down at 8 o'clock, and we're like, well, we'll at least print out our badges or whatever. And they're like, oh, the badge printer doesn't work. Like, how could you have not have that solved like before you even come? Like, it didn't even work till like 11:30 of Designer Day. Like, you couldn't print your badge at the thing that they were running, the only thing they were running that day. So it's just like that kind of stuff where it's just like you shake your head, like, what is really happening here? And then like the room that they had for the tables for the playtesting was like so small. And so then three people were like trying to solve that at the same time in different ways, getting different rooms. They did get some room on the second floor of the other tower. And like it literally took me and David like a half hour to find it. And it was so far away that like literally nobody would ever have taken the effort to go there. It was so far away. Like it was like hit you. You thought you were leaving the hotel and going out to a balcony. It's like, oh no, turn left. There it is. It was just like it just made no sense. So a lot of the kind of logistical stuff, planning and some of that kind of stuff to me was like did not go well for the designers. And I think some of that is they're trying to learn. And like, I know I had some conversations with some people involved with Gamma, and they're trying to start providing a little bit better education for some of these things. Like, you know, like I don't understand why there's not like a quick start guide of like, here's a bunch of videos. Like you want to crowdfund. Here's like, as the organization that's in charge of game manufacturing, here's what you should do. Like, you should think about these things. Like, why is that something that you have to like listen to 26 podcasts to like glean little pieces of information? Like, why isn't there a best practice you can just download like anytime? Right. And so I think they have a long ways to go. It seems like they're starting to turn the ship and like head towards some more of that educational programs and structure. But yeah, I'll stop talking about that part for now. But I mean, yeah, like the whole structure of Designer Day, like the Designer Day part itself, I didn't really get any value out of, but like, just the fact that everyone else was there and some impromptu play testing of ourselves, like the mixer was so loud and like everyone just kind of stood where they were with the people they knew. Like there was no kind of structure to like get people kind of like actually mixing. Like that seems to be their general strategy of like, let's put 500 people in a room and hope it works out. So not always the best strategy.
Yeah, for me, definitely agree 100%. The rollout and check-in was a hot mess. And another thing about the kind of the mixer, which was the like designer publisher mixer on the kind of the evening of Designer Day, which is one of the things that I was probably most excited about, and I would guess a lot of designers were excited about, was not only like unstructured and in a very like loud, echoey room, I didn't feel like there was a ton of publishers there. They had this thing where, and this was a last minute thing that they came up with, where they were giving everybody colored wristbands where you could have like a green one if you were a game designer and then a pink one if you were a publisher. And you look around this room full of, you know, 100 people or whatever, and I almost never saw a pink wristband. Tons of people didn't have a wristband at all. It was all just kind of a mess. And I, you know, obviously I don't know every publisher out there, but I knew a good number of the, like the people behind the publishers that were at the show. And a lot of them just didn't show up to the designer mixer. And I don't know what the reasoning behind that was. I don't know if they're just not looking for it or it wasn't communicated to them well. That's very much possible. But, yeah, it seemed like the designer mixer was like 90 to 95% designers is what it felt like. But I don't know. Some of that's, you know, maybe just, you know, just a mess because of this being the first thing and being kind of thrown together relatively last minute. So fingers crossed for next year that will not be quite as much of a mess. Other than that, another thing that I did not love so much was, as somebody who's just a designer, who stayed the entire time. So the con ran from Sunday through Thursday. Sunday was designer day. And then after Sunday, they're really, the structure of the days are kind of like, you have different panels in the morning, and then they provide lunch for you in this big ballroom kind of area, and you can kind of network during the lunch. And then they have the expo hall for 4 hours, and then it's dinner on your own, and then, you know, parties and hanging out and whatever. But as a designer, there ends up being a lot of dead time, especially like in the mornings, because after designer day, most of the panels and presentations and things don't really apply to designers. So there's a lot of time where I'm sitting around just kind of like, I don't know what to do now. I'm just going to sit here. And sometimes it was, you know, it ended up being great because I would talk to people and meet people that I wouldn't have met otherwise. But sometimes it's just like awkward, you know, not knowing what you're doing. And then I'll say one more thing about kind of a low point, which was that my hope for coming to this was definitely to try and pitch to a bunch of publishers in a low stress environment, right? But the thing I realized as I started walking through the expo hall was that a lot of publishers, especially the bigger ones, did not send any pitch people to Gamma Expo. It was like mainly just marketing people. So a bunch of them that I talked to gave kind of the standard, oh, here's a card, email it here, or go to our web form or whatever. Now, there were definitely some pitch people there that I got to get really good connections with, but not quite as much as I had hoped for. And some of that may be, you know, a chicken and egg problem because there haven't been, you know, so many designers in the past. And so that's why they've never sent pitch people before. And now, next year, since there were so, you know, 100 whatever designers this year, they might do it differently next year, hopefully. So I don't know. I have hopes that a bunch of this stuff will get fixed.
Yeah, that was definitely my impression, that there wasn't an expectation that there wasn't a lot of programming around folks who were just designing to pitch. That the programming kind of bridged or lived entirely in the manufacturing to fulfillment side of things. And with a particular emphasis on the retailers, which makes sense. Like, it really felt like the retails were a huge focus of the audience for Gamma. So if you're not publishing, then you don't probably directly interact with retailers. And so it doesn't make a lot of sense. That content isn't really relevant to you in the same way.
Yeah. I mean, I think the overarching theme or the elephant in the room, right, is, you know, Roscoe, I think, touched on Gamma's not known for its organizational and communications skills, shall we say. And that's, you know, I personally find, you know, that kind of thing very frustrating. But at the same time, I have been now interacting with the Gamma organization for a little while, and I'm sort of learning to roll with it. So I think the thing that I would offer to listeners, right, is if that's something that's going to really drive you crazy, like, this is perhaps not the right. I mean, there were just lots of things, right? Lots of things that you're like, when is this happening? Where is this happening? It's changing rooms, right? It's a very dynamic situation. And if that is not something that you're comfortable with, it may not feel the greatest. I will say what I've uncovered or learned, right, is that Gamma is run almost entirely by volunteers. And they are all really great, right? They are all working really hard, right? I know the person who organized Designer Day, and she was just killing it, doing everything she possibly could, right? And it just, you know, there's a lot of pieces of that puzzle. And I think, you know, I just think there's a very small amount of the team that is, you know, paid and works at this. And there's a whole bunch of people who are doing the best they can with the time that they can give and the skills that they have, right? And not everyone's skills fall into the same buckets, right? So just if you're going to go, just sort of be prepared for that sort of dynamism, I will call it. or, you know, fly by the seat of your pantsism. I wanted to go back to the panels, because I think while I talked about some of the panels that I really enjoyed, I think, you know, panels anywhere are hit or miss. And there were some misses. And in particular, you know, I think I'm not talking about like panels where you go and like the person who's presenting is like fine, right? I had a couple of panels that I went to where the entire panel were men, and the vibe that was coming off the panel was a little bit like cool for school and like don't call us, we'll call you, like I don't think that there was like an intention on the part of the organization, but I think because the panels I think are, you know, people submit them and they get selected and stuff like that. There was one that, yeah, was all guys and had this, like, I think it was a bunch of distributors who were like, don't call us until you've sold 5,000 copies, right? Go ahead, Sabrina.
I left Gamma wondering if any women work in distribution.
Yeah.
I don't think I met a single woman during the entire week who worked in distribution or consolidation. Every single panel was all men, which is, you know, like, I was just surprised at the uniformity of it. I really was, because everywhere else I was, I mean, it wasn't like women were the majority of people in the audience by any stretch, but there was representation in other aspects of the industry, but I didn't see that, or I didn't meet anyone.
Yeah, I agree. Right. And then there was one that I think we were both at, Sabrina, where like the presenter just sort of like, when they were, you know, filling time with jokes, the jokes were like, you know, women be shopping sort of jokes, and like, you know, but my wife, right? That like just felt really old school in a way that I was like, oh. But again, it wasn't all of them by any stretch of the imagination, but every now and then you'd come out of a panel with like, that wasn't really what I was looking for, and I feel a little meh about it.
Yeah.
I had one other low point anecdote that I just wanted to share, and I'll caveat this with, I do not think it is representative of Gamma as an organization. And in fact, I told the Gamma organization about it afterwards, and they were all incredibly supportive and wonderful. But I did have a really bad interaction with a manufacturer there, who in general, right, interactions with a manufacturer from a publisher, right, manufacturers are trying to get you as their client, right? They want you to spend your money on them. But I sat down with a manufacturer and they basically spent the entirety of the conversation, I'll say, negging me, right? And telling me that I didn't know what I was doing and that my game wasn't very good, and suggesting changes to the game based on what they could print. Despite knowing nothing about the game, right? So I have 4 player mats, and the person was like, you should have 8. And I was like, but it plays 4. And they were like, no, but a sheet prints 8, so you should have 8. And I was like, I was explaining to them, okay, so if you have 8 player mats, and then 8 people will decide to play the game, and then it will suck because it will take 2 hours, and then they're going to go on BGG and give it a 1 and be like, this game never ends and is awful. And the guy was just like, yeah, but you should print 8 player boards. And it went really off the rails and ended with me dropping a bunch of F-bombs at him, gathering up my stuff and like dramatically exiting the booth. And then like, freaking out before the hall opened, and it was very, very strange. And so I one of my takeaways is like, you know, I had this wonderful warm hug feeling a lot of the time, but like there are still bad apples everywhere you go. And just, just to remember to sort of have like, yeah, my game face on. But also, I think that was the first time in my life I've told someone to F off and actually stormed out, and I was very proud of myself in that moment. They did apologize for hurting my feelings though, as I was exiting the booth, so, and that they appreciated my feedback. It was very bizarre, but yeah, So, wow. You know, yeah, that was my low point. It was on the last day. And I was raging. Clarence, I think you came by the booth later that day, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like vibrating. Yeah. But like I said, I told a bunch of people from Gamma about that interaction afterwards, and they were incredibly supportive. And you know, it reinforced to me that the volunteers there are all doing their best, right? And you know, it was just I really feel strongly about the people who are supporting Gamma, at least the people that I met. They're good apples. They're good actors, right? For the most part, right? I'm sure there are some out there that aren't. But anything else folks wanted to talk about from the low points? All right. So we're going to go around the circle. Did you get the things that you were looking to get out of going to Gamma? Hmm? Who wants to go?
I will say largely yes, because I got to do a ton of networking, ton of, you know, just meeting with people in general. Some pitches I actually didn't expect to be pitching, but that's part of, you know, just walking up to a publisher sometimes and then telling you, oh, we're thinking about doing this, and you going, oh, actually I might have something for that, right? It's just those kind of chance meetings that only happen at cons. So yeah, and I had fun. Like it was an enjoyable time for me. And there was even though I complained a little bit about like the dead time, because I stayed there, you know, the entire time until the very last night. But even so, the very last night, Thursday night, I ended up still making a connection that was an important connection. Like there was a publisher I'd met at Origins last year who asked for a prototype of one of my games because they were interested in it, and I gave it to them. And then they proceeded to ghost me for 8 months over email. And, you know, I kept emailing them every month or so. And I'm usually just let that go, except for the fact that they had asked for a prototype. And then I finally ran into them at like the last night of the con, and we started chatting and eventually found out that for whatever reason, all of my emails had just been going to his spam folder. And he apologized and, you know, said he'd get back to me as soon as he could.
Wow. Oh. I mean, I guess that's happy happenstance that you ran into them.
Yeah.
Roscoe, what about you?
Like I said, I think for me, I went with a mindset of like to check it out. So my bar was pretty low. I had set up 2 pitch meetings ahead of time. Those both went pretty well as far as that went. Like I said, there was some kind of fortuitous play testing. So I wasn't expecting a whole lot. So, I mean, I got some value out of it. I think the next thing we talk about of like, how could it be better? I think it could be a lot better. There's some things that could definitely be changed pretty quickly, pretty easily, I think. But I also kind of like, I left first thing Wednesday morning. So I really kind of was only at the con Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And as a designer, I think that was largely, I know Clarence got a lot of value, but like for me, that was kind of the right amount of time. So yeah, unless things change with some other structure of publishers, like I think just a couple of days as a designer is probably the best bang for your buck. But yeah, so I got some value out of it, so I don't consider it a wasted trip. I think the other thing too that I'll mention, which we didn't talk about before on the plus side, is Louisville is an incredibly cheap city. Like compared to other places you go to cons, like everything is just literally dirt cheap compared to other stuff. So that makes it a lot more tenable to like take a flyer on it and it's like, hey, I'll just go for a couple days, because it's very cost effective in terms of that.
Sabrina, what about you?
I would say the things that I went intentionally to do, we're okay, but not like super successful. I think I have 1 confirmed retailer late pledge so far. Now there might be more as I follow up, but it wasn't like that was a blowout success. I left kind of discouraged about distribution as a like a near next step for me in any, in even like obviously with Die Times it's different, but with my next couple games I'm working on, I kind of left thinking like it's a little bit further away than I even thought going in, which was useful to learn, but not like the, not kind of what I was hoping to come back with. And I don't have any, the localization conversations were kind of like, we'll take the information, maybe get back. So I have no idea really if any of those things panned out, but I got FaceTime with my manufacturer. I got FaceTime with my partner, with Chad from 25th Century. Those are both great. I showed the prototype a lot more than I expected and got really great reactions, which was just awesome. And I think one of the things I didn't really realize, I wasn't looking for at all, but happened is that I connected with other small publishers, in particular other small publishers that are just, you know, one or two people, including a woman on the team, you know, so that was, those are people that I can now network, compare notes in this industry. And that's awesome. It's lovely to meet other people who are nice people making great games who are kind of similar size. They're a few years ahead of me, so I can, you know, have those contacts. That was not what I was going in looking for, but it was a wonderful, emergent piece. So I think I will definitely, I don't know if we're leading up to that conversation, yeah, but for me, Gamma was absolutely worth it. I will definitely go back. I look forward to being able to have a booth. I think I wanted to talk to more retailers and I realized that the retailers are walking the show floor to talk to publishers who have booths. So if you're a publisher and you don't have a booth, you kind of have to like meet the retailers organically in other ways. But if you have a booth, you better have a product to sell that you can like sell immediately. And so that is an interesting question of if that will be next year for me. But if I did, I think Gemma would be a no-brainer for having a booth at as well.
Yeah. I mean, I think I definitely got a lot of what I was going for. And I obviously had a very specific, you know, experience, and I did have a booth without a product to sell. So I'm hoping that next
Horizon
year,
Fellowships.
I had a whole bunch of, I got a whole bunch of attention, which I think I hadn't processed just how big of a deal the Horizon Fellowship was inside of Gamma, because so many people in our circles, like building the game and stuff like that, they're not really tracking on it. But yeah, it was an amazing experience. I will say I had thought I wanted to learn about distribution, and I kind of, what I took away was like, don't think about it, because there's a lot more near term things that I was tackling. So like I was out there being like, I'm looking for a developer. I'm trying to identify an illustrator to do my cover art. I'm looking for like ideas of what retailers want on a retailer tier of a Kickstarter. Right. And as I was able to formulate those questions over the course of the week, I was getting better and better insight out of them. So I am going next year, and I've actually already signed up for a booth, because you can just re-up at a discounted rate, and you can cancel before November and get your money back. So if I don't fund on Kickstarter and I won't have something to pre-order by next year, I can pivot. But yeah, I would definitely go back, and will be going back. I don't know, Clarence, Roscoe, are you guys going back, do you think?
I think so, yeah.
I think it kind of depends. It kind of depends to me personally, like how things shake out with like the designer focused stuff. Mm-hmm. Like one thing I would really love to see is a thing that I've made up. I actually talked to two different publishers about it, and they're both like, yes, I want that. Like, I'd rather see like a, instead of the mixer that we had, like something like a, I'm going to call it a proto expo, where like, think of it like Unpub or something like that, where everyone has a table and you have your game, and it's not speed dating or speed pitching. It's like they're walking by and you're just giving them the 1 minute elevator pitch. And if they like that, then they stop enough to hear one turn and they take your sell sheet and they set up a meeting for later in the week. And like, designers could see, have 50, 60 publishers walk by their game, and publishers could look at 150 games, and you could do it an hour and a half. And like, if it was something like that, that was like really designed to kind of like bridge publishers and designers, like, then I think I would definitely do it. I think also like, if I knew of enough publishers that were going to be there and taking pitches, like to Clarence's point, like we talked to some people that were like, they have marketing people there because it's retail focused, which makes sense. But, you know, if it's just like three or four publishers is all I can pitch, then like you have to, you know, say like, is it worth the time off work and all that other kind of stuff. But if there's going to be 10, 12 that have people pitching or taking pitches, then like, then I could see the value definitely being there. So, to me, it would kind of depend on that. I'd probably lean more to going again, if it's still in Louisville, just because it's so cheap and like just the networking stuff, I think has kind of it's hard to calculate the value of that. Just meeting people. And so like there's some fortuitousness that happens there. So I would probably lean more to go, but like I wouldn't be a definite unless they like had a slightly better track for designers that are looking to license, in my opinion.
So I love that idea. And I feel like I've been infected with the like Gamma ethos of me being like, so can I connect you to the person who was organizing a designer day and you could volunteer to help set that up? Which I feel like was the answer to every time someone came up with a good idea. They're like, ooh, you want to do it? You should do it.
Yeah, I didn't follow up now because I'm busy with Unpub, but like I know who you mean, and I know another person who's on the board who's in charge of events, and I can talk to her. And I know another person that might be tangentially involved with that from a different aspect, which I can't say. So, you know, as some of that stuff shakes out and I get past Unpub this week, then I'm going to like seed that idea out there, because I just think like it's just such a savings for everybody. Like it just literally benefits everyone. And then, because I think then when you have a big event like that, like to a publisher or the person who's a scout to say like, hey, in 90 minutes, you could even do it Monday morning instead of Sunday, right? Like Monday at 10 a.m. or something. Like you come a day early, you're going to have a chance to look at like 150 games in 90 minutes instead of wasting your time for a pitch meeting. And 5 minutes into it, they're like, let me tell you about my like, you know, heavy Euro. And you're like, you said this was a party game. Well, it is, but it's also a Euro. And it's like, you're just wasting everyone's time. Whereas like you could have kind of like the ability to kind of get that like speed pitch, but not in that structured thing of like sit down for 10 minutes and talk to somebody and then just repeat that infinity times. That's just too draining for everybody. Nobody wants that. So if there was a thing that's kind of much more matchmaking that way, then like, I just think it helps everyone. So I'm going to push for that. I'm going to talk to the right people. We're going to make it happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And Monday feels like a good time for that, because Monday from the publisher standpoint is kind of a down day. So designer day is Sunday, but you can only set up your booth on Sunday if you're a sponsor. And so Monday, like I hit the floor with Roscoe and Clarence at like 8:30 in the morning to start setting up the booth, but it was up within a couple hours. And then I was just sort of helping other people set up their booths or like taking a hot second for downtime, right? There were some talks I could go to, but I feel like that would be a really appealing time to do something like that. So speaking of Louisville, is there anything that you had that was delicious to eat or drink while you were there as a final round the table?
I did go to a place that had a Louisville style pizza, which I did not know was a thing. It was great, because it was actually just right across the street from the convention center. And it was a place called Beer Nose, I think was the name of it. But, so Louisville pizza, I guess, is apparently this, thin crust pizza with like toppings on toppings on toppings. So like there's more toppings than there is crust to it. And I came in with kind of no expectations and left very pleasantly surprised. That was probably my favorite meal of the whole thing.
Nice. I also had some delicious pizza from a place called Parlor. I don't know if it was Louisville style pizza, but it was very good. And there were fried cheese curds everywhere, which made me very happy. I'm here for a fried cheese curd. I will say I ordered a margarita, I think, every single night that I went out and got a drink, and none of them were any good. I should have gotten a bourbon drink, but let's just be clear. Yeah. I don't think margaritas are a strength at Louisville or in Louisville.
Yeah. Well, I was with you at that one meal, and neither you or Kimmy would drink yours. You literally took one sip and said, "This is the most disgusting thing I've ever had, and I will not drink it."
It was just acid.
Yeah. Definitely bourbon. Like, I'm not a bourbon person, so I didn't have anything that was amazing. It was all fine. I had the pizza that Clarence was talking about, so it was good, but nothing that I think is like noteworthy. But yeah, if you like bourbon, then yeah, Louisville's the place for you.
Yeah, nothing stands out. I will say it was the kind of conference expo where I bought one meal the whole week. Mm-hmm. Everything else was covered by various events, etc., which was nice. But I don't know if anything said. I did do a flight of bourbon at the Backer Kit Mesra party. Yeah, that was the first time having bourbon.
Yeah,
but I don't know that. Yeah, I am not enough. I couldn't tell you if it was good or not. That's the downside of having it for the first time. You know, I am not a connoisseur, so.
I am not a bourbon drinker, so for me, it's like, how much like fire does it taste like? Little fire or big fire? So, all right. So, where can folks get in touch with each of you? Roscoe.
So online, my handle is Roscoe Shock, just my name. I'm on Twitter, Blue Sky, Discord. I have a couple things coming soon. I won't tease them yet, but stay tuned. There's going to be some announcements for me in the next couple months. So,
sweet. Clarence.
I'm on the Discord. I'm also on the Twitters and the Blue Skies at Stoic Hamster.
Sweet. Sabrina.
On the Discord, I'm Sabrina C. On the social medias, I'm on Blue Sky Sabrina C, but mostly I post under Little Liminal on Instagram. That's my company.
And on Instagram, you can find me at Pink Hawk Games, but on Discord and Blue Sky, you can find me at Emily Keeps Kitties. And you can find me on the Discord, Building the Game. I think that sort of wraps up our What Was Gamma Expo, and whether or not we'd go again. Hopefully, listeners, you found that useful as you start to think about what you want to do next year and whether this is something you want to do as well. So listeners, if you want to get in touch with the show, you can reach out to buildingthegamepodcast.com and join the Discord that's there, or you can send us an email at buildingthegamepodcast@gmail.com. And of course, you can keep coming back every single week, but until next time, good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Building the game with Jason and friends, with Jason and friends. Building the game with Jason and friends, with Jason and friends. The end of the episode, that's
when it technically ends.